Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
See, I didn't get to see War tonight. I had to sit through Average White Band, and I didn't get to see War. So there you go. A little bit of War for me here. Nicole Sandler with you on Air America Radio, and joining us is my favorite judge, Judge David Young, who actually lives in Miami, but we're doing this by phone tonight. Hi, David.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
A little tired. You know, I was up and back in Washington in less than 24 hours, but it was an exhilarating experience being at the White House.
Yes. No. So, okay, tell us about it. You were at the event yesterday afternoon at the White House. It was a gathering of leaders from the gay community that the president called together. Before we get to the event, how do you feel about Barack Obama? How would you score him so far in terms of his outreach to the gay community?
You know, I think we have to be patient. Realize he came in to a situation where the whole world was crumbling economically and spiritually. And, you know, for this man to do what he's done in 6 months, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And never has his enthusiasm or his integrity on LGBT issues ever been questioned. People just are upset that he's not working too fast. Well, another administration worked too fast, and look where it got us. Don't ask, don't tell. So, you know, I think he's done a great job.
Good. And so now tell us, so you got to the White House. Had you ever been to the White House before?
This is a funny story. When I was in high school, my father had a friend who was deputy press secretary, and I was in close-up, and we took a day trip, my sponsor and I, and we went to the White House, and we got a VIP tour, and we got a chance to see the Oval Office, and I walked into the Oval Office, at which point the deputy press secretary screamed, "Get out of there!"
Who was president at the time?
Jimmy Carter.
Oh, wow.
Was
he there?
Yeah, so that was thrilling, but not unlike anything that, you know, yesterday was unlike anything that I've ever experienced.
Now, I saw some of the news coverage, and that room looked packed pretty tight. Did you get to talk to the president or Michelle?
I spoke to both of them. It so happens that the Obamas and I have a cousin who are very dear friends, and from Chicago. And as a matter of fact, my cousin is constantly up having dinner with the Obamas and
wow.
other members of the administration because of the long time relationships. So when I met Michelle Obama, I reintroduced myself because I'd met her before, and she gave me a kiss. Hello, how are you? And we spoke about my family. And I got to tell you, she was warm and she was in her element, and she could not have been more gracious. What the president and first lady did was, after he spoke, he went around and mingled with every guest there and had a chance to spend a few minutes with each guest, which was totally remarkable.
Did you get a picture?
No.
Aww.
I didn't. I know. So hopefully I'll be invited to a more intimate gathering.
Yeah, that would be nice. Hey, and if you know, I know you got Scott, but if you need another date, you know.
Oh, listen, you're much more fun.
I won't tell him you said that. All right, Judge David Young, you know, if the voice sounds familiar, it's because you've probably seen him on TV. And I'll tell you, down here in South Florida, I see you on the bus posters all the time.
Does it say wanted or missing child?
No, neither one, just promoting your television show.
Oh, okay.
Is that kind of weird, seeing yourself on, like, a billboard or a bus board or something?
Well, Nicole, I've run for office before, so no.
Okay.
You get over that. The first time you see your face, you get over it and think, okay, you know, boy, am I ugly, but maybe they'll like me in spite of my look. Brad Pitt, I'm not.
Well, just to by way of introduction, people, Judge David Young was a judge down here, a county court judge in Miami, then a circuit court judge in Miami-Dade County, reelected twice. Your most high-profile case was probably the America West airline pilots, wasn't it?
Well, internationally was another case I had that I was all over the farm press. A lot more extensive coverage than the America West pilots, actually.
What was
and
that?
That was the first. It was an international kidnapper, murderer who fled to Miami, who ended up in my courtroom. He was wanted for murder of a 12-year-old little girl who was on holiday at a school field trip, and he raped her, strangled her, and of course murdered her during the course of the rape. And this was the first time that international DNA was used to link up this guy Arsis with the murder in Brittany, France, and through working with the State Department, we ended up I released him on my case so he could be deported back to France, and we had Scotland Yard there. It was truly one of the most remarkable cases that I ever was a part of.
Wow. Well, I didn't know about that one. Now, of course, the America West one, these two pilots, and I remember it clearly, although I didn't know you back then, they were, like, drinking in a bar before they got on the plane, right? And so,
yep.
And that case
they were
before?
Mr. Moe's drinking up until 5 o'clock in the morning, and they had a bus pickup at 7:15, which means they had, like, 2 hours of sleep. And we know the time they got back because, A, the bar is videotaped, and, B, every time you put your key into the lock in your hotel room, it records it.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Most people don't know that. So, yeah, Big mm-hmm. Brother's watching us all the time, unfortunately.
yes, he is. So you caught the attention of the producers of the producers who were looking to do another Judge TV show, and they heard about you, and the rest is history?
The rest is history.
All right, and you've been nominated for an Emmy.
Which was very exciting.
Yes, and now the show is, are you in your third season now?
No, second season.
Oh, second season. Okay.
Second season, which ends in September.
Okay.
And it's been a wonderful run, but Sony decided, unfortunately, that they didn't want to do any more court shows. And they axed some of their other daytime television. They just want to slim down. And so hopefully there'll be some other opportunities in the future for me.
Oh, no. So this is the end of the Judge David Young show.
It is. It is. But hopefully we're working on some other entertainment type of shows, and hopefully that'll come to fruition. So I don't go away. I'm not going away quietly. Let me put it to you that way.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay, well, I'm glad you're with me tonight. We need to take a break here. When we come back on the other side, I want to talk to you about some high-profile legal issues that have been in the news of late. Bernie Madoff, Sonia Sotomayor in the New Haven firefighters case, and we can even talk about other things, you know, the juicy stuff like Mark Sanford and... Oh, you know, and a story I completely neglected when I was talking about the news of the day. We have a new senator from Minnesota.
Yay.
So we'll talk about all those things with Judge David Young when we return. It is Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270. Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
You know, it's funny. Nicole Sandler here on Air America Radio. Greg is behind the controls, and Greg doesn't, you don't know. You know that I'm an Elvis Costello fan, but really? That song, Allison, I don't want to say my daughter was named for that song. But I always liked the name Allison, and the song made me like it even more. And the spelling, A-L-I-S-O-N. Yes, and that's what my daughter's name is, and that's her song. Although we have to sing it differently because he says, I know this world is killing you. And so we change the word to, I know this world is loving you. So anyway, there you go. We are back with Judge David Young. He was, yes, at the White House yesterday and a whirlwind tour back in Miami. And the reason I called you, I actually shot you a little email yesterday to see if you could come on the show to talk about all these great stories in the news that deal with law. So let's start with Bernie Madoff. Sentenced to 150 years. Did you see that coming?
Yeah, absolutely. When you saw the devastation that occurred to so many people, so many institutions, you know, one of the stories that just struck me was a woman invested all the this couple invested all the money with him 2 weeks before he was indicted, and he knew that it was their life savings, and the guy dies within that time, and he puts his arm around her and said everything's going to be okay, and now she's wiped out. I'm sorry, that act alone warranted the stiffest penalty.
Oh, I agree. You know, if he could have gotten more, I'd say more. But his lawyer was saying that he should only get 12 years?
Well, the defense lawyer's got to do what he has to do. He's being paid to, you know, be the advocate of the defendant. Everybody in this country is entitled to an advocate. But it seems to me that this whole thing has been produced like a Broadway show to save his family from being indicted. And, you know, if you're going to tell me that Bernie Madoff did not include his wife and his kids in this Ponzi scheme, which have been made billions of dollars, I would say I've got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn.
Right. Now, they are saying that 10 more people are going to be indicted.
I read that today on the airplane, and I hope it's his family because, believe me, Nicole, they knew. They had to know. They were involved in the business. His wife knew, and she said she was devastated and she felt completely betrayed. That's a lot of malarkey as far as I'm concerned. She was about as betrayed as I have a body like Brad Pitt, okay? Come on.
No, I agree, and I think they should all fry. I mean, you know, we're down here in South Florida where so many of the victims were, but it wasn't even only individuals and families. It was charities.
You know, that's what got me. Okay, if you want to take advantage of somebody rich, I mean, that's just, you know, you're not going to lose a lot of votes over that. But when you talk about charities, people to help, you know, charities to help people who are poor, struggling, disadvantaged, from all walks of life, and ripping them off, you just have no conscience. As far as I'm concerned, you're not a human being, you're a monster.
Great. So, he gets whatever he, you know, he deserves whatever he gets. And I hope he, you know, lives out the rest of his days in misery in prison. And I hope his wife and kids join him there.
They should have a family cell. But, you know, I just sincerely hope, and I'm told that he's not going through that. He goes to he ends up at a minimum security prison because that would be like a day camp for him. And as far as I'm concerned, he needs to be behind bars. He needs to be with the roughest of criminals, because what he did was just as bad as what any of the other people have done. His actions were just atrocious.
I agree. Now, and the fact that he was allowed to stay in his penthouse apartment awaiting sentencing, I was appalled by that.
I would not have extended that to him. Listen, when the pilots were found guilty, I locked him up immediately. Somebody with the means of a pilot or the means of a Bernie Madoff could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, listen, we can't find Osama bin Laden.
Right.
And so Bernie Madoff, that has means, I wouldn't trust him. I just wouldn't do it. I would just have locked him up immediately. And listen, what he did was destroy the lives. I mean, I read this article today in the Charlotte newspaper where an old rabbi invested the congregation's money and his money with him. And now they had to sell off the congregation because they're broke.
Oh.
How do you do that?
It's despicable.
I mean,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the worst sense of the word.
Right.
Chutzpah couldn't be a good thing. In this case, not so much.
No.
Yeah. All right. Other things in the news. The New Haven firefighters case. Were you familiar with this, you know, before Sonia Sotomayor was nominated for the Supreme Court?
You know, vaguely, because it has to do with an issue that I'm concerned about. That's, you know, racial discrimination and discrimination in Title VII, which is part of the Civil Rights Act. So I was vaguely familiar, but now after Sotomayor, who I happen to like a lot, I got you know, more fully briefed and understood the case a little better.
So what do you think about this? Do you think that she was part of a three judge panel that ruled that New Haven did the right thing by throwing out this test that only the white firefighters passed, basically. The only people that would have been eligible for promotion were whites. So now, by a ruling of 5-4, the Supreme Court overturned her decision, this three-judge panel's decision. Do you think that was the right ruling? What are your thoughts on this case?
Well, my thoughts on this case were that the appellate court that she was a member of got the case from the district court, which got the case from the Civil Service Board. And what happened in this case was the Civil Service Board had a full hearing to determine whether or not New Haven was in violation of Title VII. And if they were in violation, they could be sued because they said, the city said, that the test that was given to the African-American and Latino was racially prejudiced. And so they had this full hearing on it where they got evidence on both sides. And the city attorney, Mr. Thomas Udy, characterized the exam results, I'm quoting here, having a very significant disparate impact. His comments emphasized that the case law does not require the state find the test indefensible in order to take action, but that it believes that action is the appropriate remedy. And, Nicole, when you have a desperate impact from a job-related and have a dispute involving ethnic groups, then that's when you have to start thinking, okay, is this going to be in violation of Title VII? And if it is in violation of Title VII, then what are we going to do to make sure we don't get sued under Title VII? And the city said that the test was a violation of Title VII. The questions were kind of racially insensitive, and that's why you had the disparity between the white scores and the African-American scores.
Hmm.
And it's interesting that the board voted 2-2. And because they voted 2-2, the city then threw out the results because that was the rule. And then it went to a district court, and they granted a summary judgment, which means if all the facts were known and the law, it's clearly one-sided and there's no issue to be heard. And that's the issue that Sotomayor's court listened to, and they got all the evidence, and they read all the briefs from the Civil Service Board, and they ruled that the trial judge was in his or her discretion to do what they did. And then they appealed to the Supremes. Now, this is what really gets my goat. You have Scalia and Roberts and all these right-wing kooks always talking about judicial activism,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Well, that's what they did. They don't like Title VII. They don't like the Civil Rights Act because they think it gives people with darker skin or speak with an accent different than theirs more rights than they're entitled to. So they want to just chip away at it. So this ruling chipped away at Title VII, and they judicially legislated from the bench. Clearly, they legislated from the bench in chipping away Title VII. And you know, when you read this dissent by Scalia, who's ethically challenged as far as I'm concerned,
mm-hmm.
He says that this really probably is a equal protection argument, but we didn't need to get to that today. But we need to start thinking about that and doing away with Title VII because of the equal protection clause.
Okay. Judge David Young is with us. Alex is calling from Detroit, Michigan. By the way, if you want to chime in, I don't mean to hog David all to myself. The number is 866-303-2270. Alex is in Detroit and wants to chime in on something. Hi, Alex.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
I wanted to just state that I think it was my understanding that also a number of Hispanic firefighters also passed a test and were eligible for promotion. I don't have any feelings on your position other than the fact that I do believe people should be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, but the facts are that also Hispanic firefighters pass that test.
Yeah, I think one or two. But also, wasn't it something that the population of New Haven is something like 60% black, and it didn't accurately reflect the community? And again, I didn't see the test. I don't know if it was, you know, skewed in favor of one group or another.
Right.
Alex, according to what I've heard and read, there was only one Hispanic that passed the test that joined 16 other white people in suing the city.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the issue is. The issue is Title VII. Do you want to keep Title VII or do you want to get rid of Title VII? Congress passed Title VII. It's not up to the courts to get rid of Title VII.
Right.
But that's
well,
why Scalia wants. He wants to legislate like he always does from the bench, but you can't call it him judicial activism because he's a right-wing Republican, and they, of course, never judicially are activists.
Well, I'm not a fan of Scalia, but I do think that the Supreme Court is supposed to rule on the constitutionality of certain laws passed by Congress. That's their mandate. So whether you like the ruling or not, that's their job to rule on the constitutionality.
But that's not what they ruled on here. They didn't rule on the constitutionality of Article 7. That was never the issue.
Oh, okay. Well, then I stand corrected, but hopefully we'll work on the merits of cases and not so much conservative or liberal points of view.
Okay. That's the way it should be. And, you know, what you have to remember, Alex, is that the only court that hears the facts of the case in depth is the trial court, because that's where all the facts come in. At the trial court, in this case, it was the Civil Service Board, the minutes from the Civil Service Board. the Supreme Court and the appellate court never hear in detail the facts of these cases because they just have to rule on the law. And in this case, the Supreme Court clearly overstepped its bounds as far as I'm concerned and again, did everything they could to ebb away Title VII as much as they could in this one individual case.
Yeah. Okay. Alex, thank you for the call. David,
thanks,
I want to play. Did you hear what Rush Limbaugh said about this case, about this 5-4 ruling?
No, I didn't hear what Blowhard
had to say. I'm going to play this for you. Just because I want your reaction to see if you agree how absurd it is and see if you can figure out what the hell he's talking about. All right, listen to this.
Yeah, we'll get to Sotomayor in a minute. The court found that she was indeed a racist, but there are things about this that, well, they did. I mean, let me tell you something. This is a 5-4 decision. The drive-bys and the state-run media saying it's a 5-4 decision along ideological lines. If you read Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you'll find out it's a 9-0 decision because even those in the minority found that the Second Circuit botched this totally by not even having a trial. They just...
Can you follow anything he's saying? That if you read Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dissent, it's really a 9-0 decision?
I think Rush Limbaugh so skewed in his mind. His mind is so narrow and he goes through life with blinders on. Maybe he needs to pop a couple more pills so he'll think clearly.
I figured you'd have an answer like that. Judge David Young is with us here on Air America. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side and, talk about our favorite governor from South Carolina and what the hell is he drinking or popping. Yeah, we'll be back.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Nicole Sandler. Give us a call at 866-303-2270.
At home and stolen
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
50 years younger. Maybe I get another 30. And if you come into connection with a soul that touches yours in a way that no one's ever has, even if it's a place you can't go, this notion of knowing that you know, for me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was Mark Sanford. digging the hole a little deeper, I guess. And is Nicole Sandler here with you on Air America Radio, still joined by Judge David Young. So what do you think about the hypocrisy coming out of the governor of South Carolina?
Every hour something new happens with him. You know, once again, people need to put their own houses in order before they criticize my house.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Ensign criticized Obama and criticized Clinton. And Sanford vehemently criticized Clinton and said that Larry Craig should resign and mm-hmm. Elliot Spitzer, and they're doing the same thing.
And apparently over and over marriage, again.
The sanctity of marriage. Well, let me see, Governor Sanford. You said that you've had at least seven different instances where you had an affair with this woman, where you went down there, and now he's being investigated by the Attorney General's office to see if they used state money during his little affair. And the governor also said today to AP that he has had relationships with many other women during the course of his 20-year marriage.
Yes, although he didn't cross the sex line, but he was dancing, doing things that a married man shouldn't do.
But then why are you saying you're against gay marriage and marriage should be between a man and a woman and the sanctity of marriage?
That's right. And, yes, and of course, gay marriage will destroy the institution of marriage as we know it. Well, destroy what?
What institution are we talking about? You know, and I'm so tired of these politicians protesting. Well, what do they say? They that protest loudest has more things in their closet than I ever did?
Wait, say that again?
It's my own comment. People that protest mm-hmm. have things in their closet that they never want to get out. That's why they argue so loudly.
That's right.
Because they don't want their past to be dug up. And, you know, look at Jimmy Swaggart and Reverend and Mr. Baker and now Sanford and Ensign and Larry Craig, all these phonies.
Yeah, and Sanford is a member of Promise Keepers. I mean, It's the hypocrisy that gets to me. I don't care who sleeps with who. I really don't give a damn, except when you're out criticizing everybody else, when you're demanding their heads on a platter, when you're talking about the sanctity of marriage and how, you know, what other people do is going to destroy your marriage. No, I think, Mark Sanford, you're doing a pretty good job of destroying your own marriage.
I think it's an indication and another individual that shows that hypocrisy is alive and well in this country. As I said to somebody once, why do you care if Scott and I get married? How will this affect you?
I still want to hear that answer. Has anybody ever answered that to your satisfaction?
No, I debated a guy from Liberty University, a law professor, and I said to him, I said, why do you care? What pure interest is it of yours of what I do in my private life?
And can they answer? How do they answer that?
There's just, he didn't have an answer for it. I said, you know, marriage is really a contract between two people who love each other. That's all marriage is. Now,
right.
if you tell me that the church can't recognize gay marriage because the church doctrine or synagogues, that's not government. We have a separation of church and state. But you can't tell me, like the stupid opinion by the Supreme Court in California, saying that, okay, well, those of you who were married before, we're not going to take away the marriage, but any future gay people, lesbians, can't get married anymore in the future. Well, you can't do
that.
Well,
that sure seems unconstitutional to me. And is that going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, do you think?
I think it probably will. And the lawyers involved in that, Ted Olson and David Boies, the fact that these two would be on the same side after Bush versus Gore and other different political skirmishes that they've had is just amazing. And it's really an indication to me that Ted Olson thinks, and I have friends who've spoken to him, that he has a really strong case. And the fact that he comes to this case with credibility, Nicole, at the last day of the Supreme Court, he was there hugging all the justices and saying goodbye to David Souter. That's the type of person that we want to be representing us.
Right. Okay. Judge David Young, we are up against the clock. We're just out of time. We will have to do this again soon. Hopefully we'll do it regularly, okay?
I would love it.
Me too. Thanks so much, Judge David Young. Now, we'll take a break, come back on the other side, and talk about a cure for cancer. Seriously. We'll be right back. This imagery back, but no, it just ain't space.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.